Today is the December 30th, 2018 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is titled, Remembering the Deeds of the Lord. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you all on this last Sunday of 2018. It's a warm day here in December. It's not abnormal. It was 20 years ago this Sunday that my wife and I first came down to Florida, visiting the place, checking it out. We were thinking about moving here and being pastor of Hope, well, Bay Area Community Church then. And so we were sort of surprised. Man, it was like 80, 85 degrees. I said, whoa, I'm not sure if we like this or not. It was about a few weeks later, and up back in Maryland, we had a massive ice storm. Our power was out for 3 or 4 days, and I think that was the motivation for her to get down here. But we sold our house and packed up our kids, our belongings, our dog and our cat. And 7 weeks then, which is the third week of February, headed down here. But you look back at time. It's good to look back at time. That's our message today. We are here at the end of 2018. Some of you will think, man, things have gone by really fast this year. Others of you might say, well, things have gone by pretty slow. But regardless, we are at the end of a year and looking ahead then to 2019. And God has done, whether you know it or not, a lot of things in your life, in your family, in this church, churches all over, and of course in the entire world. And today I want to talk about what the Bible says about looking back and what God has done. And then next week we'll talk about looking ahead, looking at what God wants to do. Turn then your Bible to Psalm 77, a number of passages we're going to look at today. As we cover this very, very important theme, Psalm 77, I want to read the first 15 verses. Psalm 77, verse 1, My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord, and the night my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I'm disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You held my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise came to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on all your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You've made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, sons of Jacob and Joseph. Read about a troubled person here. All of you can relate to this to some degree. This person's down, he's discouraged, and he's so sad that he can't even speak. He thinks that God has forgotten him, that God has rejected him, that God is against him, that God is angry with him, that God will never bless him again. What's the answer? It's verses 11 and 12. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your works and muse on your deeds. He looks back at the past. He thinks about not just his life, not thinking about somebody else's life. He's not thinking about his failings or his weakness per se. He's thinking about the works of God. That's what he is doing. Clearly, he's thinking about what God has done. And it says that he's meditating, or says musing, which is means he's just thinking. That's just all it means. He's pondering. He's thinking back in his mind, going back over in his mind what God has done. That's what he is doing. And as he thinks about what God has done, he realizes who God is. That is, he understands the character of God. We read these words here. I'm not going to go back to the verses, but that he's wise, he's great, and he's strong, and he's holy, he's merciful. And we understand, we need to understand this connection. We look back at what God has done. When we do that, we need to see who God is. That is the character of God and the purposes of God that basically are foundational for what God does. So we see here, thinks about what God has done, but he also then realizes who God is, what his character is. And this is important. You need to take time to think back over your life. This is what you need to do. Think back over your life and what God has done. We can get so busy at life. We can be thinking about what we want to do or think about the things that we need to get done. And we need to learn to sit still. Stop thinking about what we want to do. Start thinking about what God is doing and what God has done. Very important, critically important for your life. As you do this, then you'll see the works of God. You'll see the character of God. You'll see the works of God in your life. And you'll be encouraged. And you'll love him all the more. A reference I'd encourage you to read. I'm not going to go through now. Psalm 13, a great little psalm that relates to the same point here. Jot that down. You can read it later. Let's now go to Psalm 78. Turn a page or two to the right. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. Great psalm summarizes God's working with the Jews. Some very important lessons here. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart, whose spirit was not faithful to God. We understand from this text that it's the duty of parents to teach their children the Word of God and the works of God. And I would say, beyond that, it's up to each one of us here as believers to tell other believers, and particularly those who are younger than us, the deeds of the Lord. This is our job. This is what God wants us to do. And I would particularly suggest to you, those of you here who are older, who've lived a few more years than the rest, that you are to tell the younger generation the deeds of the Lord. I say that because you are older. You've passed through more history, more time. You've seen years, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of the faithfulness of God. It is your job. And I say this very clearly and strongly. It is your job. Tell others what God has done in the past. We should be present-minded and forward-minded people. Yes, we should, but today's the day to reflect. Today's the day to look back. Today's the day to remind ourselves that we need to take some time. I'm saying a lot of time. A little time to remember what God has done and then remind ourselves we need to tell others. Tell others the good things that he has done in your life, the lives of others you know, your family, the church. Tell others. Think of stories and think of examples. And you might repeat some of these stories. You might repeat the examples time and time. Do it. Share them with others. What God has done. How God's been faithful. How God's been sovereign. How God has been wise. How God's been merciful. That is, you tell others what God has done, but you relate that then to who God is. You tell them not just the what, but the why. You know, the verse in Psalm 103, verse, I believe it's verse 7. And it says that God made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the sons of Israel. Okay? The sons of Israel knew the deeds. They could remember the particular acts, but they didn't know the ways. They couldn't see the big picture. They couldn't see the why. They couldn't see where God was coming from and where God was going. Moses saw the big picture. That is, he connected the dots. Y'all seen dots, you know, and you got to connect the dots and stuff in some little children's crayon book or something, you know. We got to connect the dots. So I'm encouraging you to look back and see what God has done, but please connect the dots. So you can say, hey, God made known his ways to me. Others might see the deeds of the Lord. Some people don't even see the deeds of the Lord. Let's see the deeds of the Lord, and let's also then see the ways of the Lord. Back to Psalm 78. So we need to tell others what it says in these verses. I'm just summarizing here. We need to tell others the Word of God and the commandments of God and the instructions of God. And so what we're saying then is really two things from these few verses is that you need to remember the works of God and the Word of God. You need to tell others the works of God and the Word of God. Both are important. And when you do that, there's four things that result. Let me just briefly mention these. First of all, results in you and others having confidence in God. That is faith. Your faith grows. When you see what God has done, you see how he's worked into life and lives, but your faith grows. That's the first thing. The second thing is this, it results in you and others having hearts that are prepared, that are right with God, that are holy before the Lord. And thirdly, it results in you and others being obedient, ones who obey God's command. It talks about here in this whole section, it's really a sad psalm. Because we see the disobedience of the Israelites. God blessed them and helped them, and they're going through the desert, and they did good a little while, then they did bad, and they disobeyed. And so what we're talking about today, looking back at the works of God, and of course in conjunction with that, the Word of God, is that what helps us to be ones who obey the Lord. Next, it results in you and others being faithful, ones who continually, faithfully love the Lord and live for the Lord. Psalm 78, it's a great read. I'd encourage you to read that whole thing sometime. Turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, first five verses. Again, our focus today is about looking back at the past. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and let in your faithfulness by night. With a ten-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep." This tells us that we're to declare that God is loving in the morning. So it says, you get up in the morning to tell yourself, remind yourself, to declare to yourself, God is loving, and then expect him to show you his love that day. Then what we see here, then at night, you're to declare his faithfulness, specifically that God has been faithfully showing you his love during the day. That's what you're to do. You're to remember and think about specific things that have happened during the day. Think about how God has intervened in your life. Think about how God has blessed you. Think about the works of God that day. Very important. We can talk about looking 10 years, 20 years, 30 years back. That can be hard sometimes. But it starts with looking back at one day, and that's what it says here, declaring your faithfulness by night. That's what you're to do. And then you can say, how great are your works, as it says there in verse 5. You look back and says, wow, God did great things. And yes, God does little things, God does small things, but God does great things, marvelous things, wonderful things, amazing things. And we all need to be ones then who can say, as verse 5, how great are your works, O Lord. Wherever you're at, this relates to every one of you here. God wants you to be the one who say, great are the works of the Lord. Now turn to Lamentations just briefly. Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah. Go to the right, the prophets, Jeremiah, then Lamentations chapter 3. Very familiar verses. We sing a song that relates to this. Verse 20. So surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We sing the song, Great is Your Faithfulness. And when we sing it, the focus isn't so much, it is on the faithfulness of God. Specifically, it relates to what? It relates to the verse before about his loving kindness and his compassion. God is faithful to show you his loving kindness and his compassion throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the years. That's what we're talking about. He's faithful. Great is your faithfulness, as specifically as it relates to the loving kindness and the compassion of God in your life. Just one side note here. We did a study, a Wednesday night study on Lamentation. It must have been 3 or 4 months ago. And I never really studied it before. If you're really down, discouraged, this is the go-to chapters. Lamentations 1, 2, and 3 particularly. This is where you need to go. More than Book of Job. It's focused, it's concentrated right here. And if you're really sad, and you read this, it's, man, Jeremiah went through a lot. He did nothing I went through compared to what he went through. But Lamentations 1, 2, and 3, really the whole book, particularly those few chapters. So, back to 92. When you do this, then you'll be thankful to the Lord. When you take time to think about what God has done, then hopefully that thinking then turns into thankfulness. You'll be glad in your heart, and you'll sing for joy to the Lord. You'll see that having a positive attitude and disposition in life relates directly to how you see the past. Specifically, thinking of God's kindness and mercy and love in your life. There's a lot of people that got bad attitudes. Grumpy, grumbling, complaining. So much. I'm not saying everything. A lot of it relates to this point right here. They've not thought rightly about yesterday and last week, and they complain about what has happened. Your disposition, your attitude relates directly to how you see the past, and specifically then to seeing his loving kindness. And then you'll say, as I said, how great are your works? See that God has done great, great things. We continue in Psalm 145. Steve read this portion. I'm going to reread it. Psalm 145. You'll see this is a fairly common theme. It's not just some isolated thought. It's a very common thing. And as you think about this, as we continue to talk about it this morning, you'll see this is really a major thing that's got to be part of your life. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9, I'll read again. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. The glorious splendor of your majesty and your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will joyfully shout of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. His mercies are over all his works. Again, we start this psalm with praise, but then in those middle verses, we talk about how we are to meditate. Again, you're to go back in your mind over the day or over the week or over the month or over the year. You're to go back in your mind and think about what God has done and think about the works of God. And as it says there in verses 8 and 9, the character of God is then summed up there. A great summary verse, verses 8 and 9, about the character of God. So you do this then, and you will see God's character. You'll see God's power and his awesomeness and his greatness, that God is gracious, that God is patient, that God is full of loving kindness. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. I know I've told you in this past how, not every day, maybe every few months, I'll just take a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10. And I'll go back and review the 50s, okay? Born there in Fond, Iowa in 53, and there a few years on the farm, then moved to Vegas, and then out there, and then Dad got sick, and he died, and moved back then to Iowa in 61, and there out on the farm for a few years, and then went to junior high and high school, graduated in 71, went to Iowa State, became a Christian. Good years in the 70s, you know, and being single and working for the Lord. And then in the 80s, moving here and meeting Marcia, getting married in the kid years, you know, in the 90s and learning to teach. That's when I first really started teaching up front. It was 93. Then you get the 2000 and come down here. So you think back, and I take a little longer than that, but I reflect over the things that have happened. And my heart is just filled with joy. This is really encouraging. I hope it is for you. If you have God's perspective and God's truth in your mind, you think back and says, wow, this is really good what God has done. This is really a blessing from the Lord. As you think back. And so you do this, and hopefully then you'll be encouraged and blessed and comforted, and hopefully then you will be ones who are thanking the Lord and blessing the Lord and praising the Lord for what he has done in your life. And that's really the main point of this passage here in Psalm 145, and really of all that we're talking about. The main point, you go to verses 1, 2, and 3, what? Is to praise the Lord. We look at all that God has done in our lives, and the main point, I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to keep praising him. So I'll bless your name forever and ever. Verse 2, every day. So it's a daily thing, but also an eternal thing. Every day I will bless you, and I'll praise your name forever and ever in verse 2. Great verse, a great way to summarize what God wants for our life. So this is, you know, we talk about thinking back in our life to be encouraged, but really bottom line then is so that we can then give praise to God. So this is what God wants you to learn. God wants you to learn to review your life, your days, your weeks. But think back over what God has done. And when you do that, if your heart is just halfway right with Him, with God, then you will be blessed. You will be encouraged. You'll be peace and love and joy in your heart. And you'll give thanks and praise to God. That will happen. That will happen. And so many people really are discouraged because they're not thinking rightly about what God has done. They forget it. We are oftentimes too progressive in our lives. And the progressive movement one is basically the way they forget the past, let's just think about the present, move on to the future. But we can be that way as Christians in terms of forgetting the past and thinking about the present, moving on to the future. We need to think of our whole life. We have a history. As believers, as individuals, we have a history personally, individually, as families that God has given us. We need to remember that history and see our whole lives then as this one composite work of God. Go back to Psalm 136. Again, I'm just looking at these verses very briefly. This is very much of an overview today. Give you the big picture. We've looked at this psalm before, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4. I'll read here. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Here's his psalm. This writer is looking at God's works, at God's dealings with men, and specifically then how God has shown his love to them. That's what you see. What's the last phrase of every one of these verses here? His loving kindness, his love is everlasting. Now, first four verses says we're to be thankful to the Lord for his wonderful deeds, and then we are to praise him, we're to thank him. And this, if I could say the main theme, just one thing for this whole message, this is what I'd say right here. You need to think back over your life, see the works of God, see how God then has loved you by what he has done in your life and around your life, and then give thanks. Three things. Think back over the works of God. How's God shown his love? Give thanks. That's it. If you forget everything else, remember that, okay? And that's the theme of this whole psalm. That's all this psalm was really saying. But let's go through a few more verses to give you the more of a picture. Psalm 136, 5 through 9 is talking about the creation. And here we see how God showed his love and that he created the world for you. And sometimes you don't maybe think this way. There's a whole world out there. There's a whole world of creation. You understand that. We're not going to talk about the details of creation, but it's all out there, and God made it for who? For you. For himself, yes, but for you. He designed it the way he wanted it to be for you. And that, then, is how one way he shows his love for you. So you go out and you enjoy creation. Wow, God made this for me. Give thanks to the Lord then. Verses 10 to 22, we're not going to read these. We see here God's dealings with the Jews, delivering them from Egypt, bringing them into the promised land, all then reflecting the love of God for them. That's what's going on here. Verses 23 to 24. Talks about seeing the mercy of God. And I believe, my opinion here, I believe this relates to all people who've seen the mercy and kindness of God that have been forgiven of their sins. Those verses, again, showing the love of God. Verse 25, here we see that God shows his love to all mankind. For all mankind is blessed with provision and food, right? You think about the whole world, every city, every country, every person, they eat. If they don't eat, they die. They get food. God provides that. God's the one in charge of that. And that's a reflection of God's love for mankind in general. Verse 126, we'll read that. Verse 26. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. This inclusion, this goes right back to the introduction, repeats himself. And the whole thing again is this. You think about the works of God. There's the love of God you see in the works of God, the love of God for you and his people and really the whole world. And then you thank the Lord. That's it. That's it. And again, this is the application that you need to think about your life. You go back over your life, think about what God has done in your life, see that what God has done then in your life and in your family and around you then is a reflection of his love for you. We see these verses 10 to 22, which we're not going to look at. But it's a story of the Israelites and God's specific dealings with them and how then God showed his love to them. But here's the point, and I've said this, but I want to say it again. The fact is, The fact is this, is that each of you here have a story of how God has worked in your life. Each of you here have a personal, individual story of what God has done, specific things he's done, specific aspects, specific ways in that God has showed you his love. That's what he's done for you. In all this, then, you see the great love that God has for you. In all this, then, you need to be thankful to him. So we continue on. Another Psalm, 23. 23, verse 6, a verse that I believe most of you can quote. Psalm 23, 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is a great verse. It's a great verse that summarizes your life. It's what some would call a life verse, and I believe we all should have life verses. You look at one verse, and this speaks about your entire life. But can you say this? Can you say that you've seen the goodness of God in your life and in all the days of your life? Can you say with strength and conviction in your soul that God has continually showed his love to you? That's the point. And you need to think about this. Not just some little simple question. I'll ask Steve as it. Think about it. Go home and think about it. Can you answer that? Yes, I have seen the goodness and the love of God in my life and in all the days of my life. And if there's something's not right, something's not clicking, you've got to figure it out. I mean, a lot of people have problems with things in the past. They're upset today and worried about the future because of the past. They've not understood it. And sometimes you might even need help. You look back and say, man, this happened 5 years ago and I'm still upset at it. Well, you got to get things right between you and the Lord. And again, you might need some others. And I know really, really bad things can happen. I understand that. Well, understand, bad things happen to people, okay? But you got to learn to process in the way that God wants you to process. It is paramount. And if you are thinking rightly like this says here in verse 6, then you're thinking correctly. You're thinking in your life and you're seeing back how God has been kind to you and merciful to you and good to you. And then you'll be encouraged. And then you'll be satisfied. Then your heart will be filled with joy and you'll be a contented Christian, if verse 6 is true. You'll be a mature Christian. You'll be one who is walking with the Lord. You'll be one then who is thankful to the Lord. And as it says here, you will then have hope. Because what's the last half of this verse? Hey, I've got a good life here and a better life ahead. I'm convinced you think in your mind, I'm going to be in heaven someday. I will dwell in the house of the Lord and I will be there forever and ever. This is wonderful. Couldn't get any better than this. The love and mercy and kindness of God all my life and then I go to heaven? This is fantastic. People don't think this way. They're not trusting God. They're not believing God. Or maybe maybe it's just a sin of unbelief. And oftentimes that's what it is. We need to repent of that lack of faith, of trusting God, believing that God is working all things together for good, and other verses that are like that. We continue. Psalm 50. Psalm 50. We'll read a section of verses 14 to 23. And as you see here, you'll see there's two kinds of people that are talked about, and I'll mention a few thoughts about each of them. Psalm 50, verse 14, it says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, or I'll tear you in pieces, and there'll be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. These verses talk about two kinds of people. And one thing I want to just mention briefly is that when you read the Psalms and many other passages, you'll see it talks about the righteous and the wicked. You need to understand this because you think about life and all the things that go on out there in the world. There's righteous people and there's wicked people. And if bad things are happening because there's wicked people sort of doing these bad things, okay? Just realize that. That's what's going on here. The Bible tells us what people are like. Well, anyway, this first person is one who forgets God. He's not thinking about God. He's not thinking about what God has done. And this is speaking. It says very clearly, this person is an unbeliever. He is a wicked person. It says his speech is evil. It says he's an adulterer. He's a slanderer. He's one who hates God and hates God's word and doesn't even know who God is. And you know what his biggest, one of his biggest sins? He brings God down to his level. A humanistic God. And that's the wrong thing to do. And oftentimes we can do that. God says, what? You thought I was just like you? Are you kidding me? I'm not like you at all. So you be careful in your own thinking. Don't ever bring God down to your level. God is so much greater and higher and more wonderful than we are. But this evil person, he doesn't know God and he doesn't know what God is like, and therefore he is incorrect and he is wrong in his thinking. And that's because God is not like man. God is completely different. God is completely set apart from us as man. That's what he is. But the godly person here, the righteous person we see here, he doesn't forget God. He knows who God is. He knows what God is like. He knows that God is working in his life and the lives of others. That's what he is doing. And he gives thanks to God. He honors God. That's what we understand. And this person we see, and this is a great promise, this last verse here. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I will shall show the salvation of God. It's a great verse about the present and the future. You have a heart that's right with God, like doesn't forget him, knows who he is and what he's doing, and thinks about the works of his works in our life, then this will help you then for the future. This kind of person will continue to be blessed by God and see the salvation, the mercy, and the goodness of God, the works of God in his life and the lives of others. Okay, another verse. Move out of Psalms, move back to 1 Samuel. After the Pentateuch, Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, verse 7. Chapter 7, verse 12. One verse. A very familiar verse. I'm going to pull it out of context a little bit here, but I believe it relates directly to what we're talking about today. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 12. It says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Now, this is specifically talking about the Israelites' victory over the Philistines, but I believe that we can expand this and apply this. This can relate to the victories of God that we have seen, the works of God in our own life, where we then will say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. And so here we are at the end of 2018. And I want to encourage you to take some time today, tomorrow, Monday, or Tuesday as well, if you want. Take some time to look back over the weeks and the months and in the years too, and think about what God has done and be thankful for what God has done, and say, thus far the Lord has helped me. And that's the question I have for you. One question this morning. Can you say that? Can you say, thus far the Lord has helped me? Thus far? I mean, it just shocks me. It just I turned 65 about, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Man, 65. Wow. Because, you know, when you're young, you know, and you're teenagers and stuff, and you go to your grandparents' house, and they look so old, you know, frumpy, you know, and wow, you know, they look really old. Man, I'm never going to be like that. I think, I'm serious. When I was in my early 60s, I was in Fonda, Iowa then, lived there. And my grandparents, four of my grandparents all live within, 10, 15 miles away. I'd see them on a regular basis. Wow, they're like old. Wow, I'll never be like that. Here I am. Wow. This is something. But it's not just that, because now I'm a believer. I became a Christian when I was 18. I say, wow, thus far the Lord has helped me. This is really something. I mean, man, 20 years here, for example, in Tampa. This is, wow, this is incredible. Thus far the Lord has helped me. Wow, this is good. And it helps you then to continue on. So as you move ahead into 2019, here's the real application. I want to encourage you to daily and weekly look back over your life. Think about what God has done. This is what you need to do. Go back and think about the works of God, how God has helped you and led you, how God has been gracious to you, how God has forgiven you. Some days are bad days. Oh man, thankfully I'm forgiven. Some days are good days. Thank you, Lord, for what you did there. We see the providence of God. We see the sovereignty of God. We see the work of God, the goodness of God, the leading of God, the wisdom of God, all these things. When you really do this, you'll start to think about the character of God and understand the character of God, as I said before, then again, it's built your faith, your trust for the future, and your love for him, your appreciation, and of course, is that which is the basis for your thankfulness too. So I this is it. I really want to encourage you. Again, and what I would suggest is that every night, I know you're busy, but you can't be that busy that you can't take 5 minutes at night before you go to bed to review the day. That's all I'm saying. Just that 5 minutes, I believe, will make a huge difference. And not just spiritually, probably sleep better too. Too many times you go to bed with things on our mind, we've not processed it rightly. You need to do that. You need to think back properly. And you might even get a journal. That's fine. Notebook, or you guys, most of you have computers, write it on your computer, okay? Do that. And then you can say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. Not one last verse, but turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Verse 35. No, it's not 35. It's verse 25. 31:25. Proverbs 31:25. Let's talk about this godly woman. I just want to pull out one verse. Her strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Now, I know I'm going to make some conjectures here. I'm not going to do some hypothetical things here, but I believe that I can. Here's a woman, a godly woman, and what is she doing? She's smiling at the future. That, as I believe, she's thinking rightly about the past, and therefore is thinking rightly about the future, and has no fear about the future, but is smiling at the future. Oftentimes, you know, if we're not processing the past right, we're going to have fears about the future. That will happen, I guarantee you. You're going to be worried about today and tomorrow and what's going to happen this year. Oh, and it's going to be another bad year, you know, and you're down about things. And you got to smile at the future. But what I've talked to you about today in this message is that which is foundational then to being one who is to smile at the future, where you look back at the past, you think rightly about the past, you're encouraged by what God has done, you see the love of God, you've been thankful, and then you smile at the future. You see, that's what he wants. That is, you know the Lord. You know the Lord. You see how he has come through for you in the past. You see that. And therefore, you are trusting him, having this faith, believing him then for the future. Seen the past. God has come through. He's been a good God, a loving God, a faithful God. I'm going to trust him then for the future. That's what I'm going to do, knowing that God has been good, that God will be good today, tomorrow, and the rest of my life, and then, of course, forever and ever and ever. And this really is all speaking about hope. That's what we're talking about here. Come to the conclusion, it's hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing as you trust in him. May God fill you with hope for the future. That's what he wants for you. So I trust this lesson has been helpful. I really encourage you to take that time. Not just a New Year's resolution. This is what God wants you to do. I mean, these are not just some options. God commands you to think back over the past. And it's for your good and it's for his glory. At this time, we'll do something just a little different. I want each of you there in your seats before the Lord, personally, quietly pray. And what I want you to do, and sometimes people have a hard time doing this, I want you to just thank the Lord for the past. Sometimes I say pray, and I say thank, and they start praying about the future. Forget the future. Forget praying about today or tomorrow or this coming year. Forget it. I want you to thank the Lord for the past, okay? Now, you might find your mind, go on, I got to pray about the future. No, forget it. We'll do that next week. Do Monday, but not today, okay? So just take a minute or two. Think back. You go back over your life. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Thank the Lord for who he is. Give praise to him. Father, we've just taken a couple minutes here really to thank you. We ought to take much more time, but I trust that you'll lead each one here to do that. But we do want to thank you for the past, Lord, and entire life, whether that's 20 years or 80 years, Lord, whatever it might be. We thank you for every day, every situation, every person in our life, everything that you've done for us, God, primarily, of course, for our salvation. There's so much, Father, you've done. And the fact that we're here today is just a testimony to how you've been faithful to us, and faithful, as we saw in Lamentations 3, to be loving and kind and compassionate to us through all the years. So many times we have forgotten you. We will all admit that. So many times we've not thought about you, but now we do think about you when you realize you thought about us every second of our lives. Every microsecond, God, you thought so much, and the thoughts you have towards us are greater than the sands of the sea, as we read in Psalm 139. But thank you, Father, for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord, for each one here. Thank you, Lord, for, again, all the things you've done with us and the relationships that we've had, the jobs that we've had, the trials that we've gone through, Lord, just the fellowship that we've had with people, just so many good things. And Lord, as we look back at what you've done, we think about who you are, the God who is kind and loving and patient and faithful, wise, the sovereign God, gracious and strong. So many things we could say about you. Lord, this does indeed turn our hearts to love you all the more and to thank you. And we do thank you, Father. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for who you are. But we do tell you today individually and collectively, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you, Lord, because you are such a great and wonderful God, and we thank you for that. So, Lord, just thank you again for all that you're doing. We trust you now for the future. Lord, just pray all this in Jesus' name.